Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
A Dear Media original podcast.
I feel like I've been lied to my whole life.
It was such a quick little, I don't know. I think we were like spring break buddies or something. It was a
spring break buddies.
A little blip on the radar.
So you guys didn't feel the need to let me know when we started dating. I get it.
What's up, everyone? Welcome in. It is Back to the Beach with Kristen and Steven. Again, I'm Steven Coletti.
And I'm Kristen Cavallari. Hello.
There she is. And we have episode 4 of season 2 of Laguna Beach, the Real Orange County for you guys. It is titled More Than Friends, but I think it should be called Sidekicks because everyone gets a sidekick in this episode.
This is a big deal.
We've reached the sidekick moment of the 2000s for our cast members of Laguna Beach, Orange County. Talon's got his, I think in the first scene when he's calling you, he's on a sidekick. And then later in the episode, you and Alex H. come in. You're like, we just got sidekicks.
By the way, they were a gift from MTV. And actually that scene where we walk into it and we're like, we just got sidekicks. Look, we like flip it up. That was one of the very last scenes we ever filmed. That was definitely a pickup. I think we had already graduated high school. And here it is.
No shit.
Seemingly as though it's in January. Yes. But I remember, I mean, we were so excited about these sidekicks and we obviously got them just because we were on the show. We were like one of the first ones to get them. And I loved that sidekick.
Those things are addicting. It was very addicting to just fire it open and just like, type some sort of fake email to somebody just because you're like, this literally is really fun to use and play around. You're like, you just wanted to text people. I think it's right. When all of our addictions to text messaging actually really were cemented because It was fun to really get on those things in chat. So you just shoot the shit with friends for no reason, just so you can talk on your sidekick.
Literally.
You know what's interesting is we, like when I got that razor from a producer in the first season and you see it at the end of the first season and then when we come back for winter break, we're showing it as we discuss at Lowe's Christmas party. You know, I don't know if that is a deal with Motorola that MTV has that they're getting money for.
100%, Steven, they're making, it's a side hustle. They're making all kinds of money.
I would imagine with these sidekicks, which I think they were a T-Mobile phone or...
Yes, because people pay a lot of money to be on shows like that.
That's what I figured. I guarantee with the sidekicks, but I was wondering about the first season, like towards the end, when I got a razor... And it was just me. And it was, I don't know. I was like, if this is kind of a gift, it's almost like, man, sorry, you're about to have some shit happen to you on this show. Like, here's a gift at the end of the season. But
no,
when I see the sidekicks, I was like, all right, they're definitely making money off the sidekicks. This is like a marketing, you know, this is a plant. But I was wondering with the razor. And
100% the razor too. 100%. I guarantee it.
We didn't see a dime.
They're not putting that stuff on the show. Or you know how like they would blur out water bottles, like labels or whatever? They have to blur that stuff out unless they're getting paid. That's why I think it's so obvious. Or like if you've ever seen the Kardashians, I remember, I didn't watch a lot of it, but I definitely saw it. But I remember one time Kris Jenner had on like a Fitbit or something and she's like walking around her house and they have a whole conversation about this Fitbit. I'm like, do they really just think that like this is what's going on in these people's lives? No, everyone's getting paid. Smart marketing, though, I will say.
Yep.
You guys, we do have to point out that, yes, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
We do have a Valentine's Day episode from Laguna Beach, which will air in 2 weeks. I wish we could have lined it up perfectly for you guys that it all came out on the same day, but we're not that savvy, I guess. Right, Stephen?
Oh, the Valentine's Day episode. I think it's called I Hate Valentine's Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
and
sure is.
Yeah, while it would have been nice for it to line up for this week, it is coming down the pipeline in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I think I remember over a couple week period, MTV had me deliver flowers to some people.
Multiple and then people.
Jammed into this episode. I remember something. So I'm looking forward to getting into that episode and seeing what that's all about. So
me too.
That's coming soon, guys. Wish we could have lined up perfectly for you guys. But nonetheless, we know you guys love Valentine's Day so much. So we'll come back to it here on Back to the Beach in a couple of weeks.
Celebrate for 2 weeks straight.
Absolutely. So this episode is described to you guys as Jason and Talon stir up all kinds of trouble when their eyes start to wander from their girlfriends, Taylor and Jessica. And
also, Taylor wasn't Talon's girlfriend, just saying.
Yeah, you can tell that this is really, MTV's really pushing for it. Yeah, and it's not really happening. Taylor also has a guy off in college who was like her major love throughout high school. And that was still, I think, simmering. And Talon was like, maybe he was going to be there just if they happened to break up and then he would jump in there. But man, the wheeling and dealing of Talon is great. The conversations between you and him and, of course, him and Taylor, man, he's got his game going.
I love it so much. And by the way, since we are talking about Talon, we interviewed him last week on the podcast. And right after, I got a text message from Jason Waller and he screenshot a FaceTime between him and Talon. I guess Talon FaceTimed him like right after he hung up with us. So Jason screenshot it and sent it to me. They both have these huge full beards. And I was just cracking up because I was like, you guys are like grown ass men. Like what happened? It was just the cutest picture.
Awesome. I love that. Cause usually we have a guest on and it's kind of, let's get caught up. Let's discuss their impressions on the show. And then we kind of get into some of the stuff that happened on the show. I think like, our second question to him had to deal with like, all right, did I cheat on you? Did I cheat on Steven with you?
Like, no fluff. We're just getting right into it. The hard-hitting questions.
That's one of those conversations I would never think we would have doing this show, like that particularly. And then I remember just catching myself like, this is so funny. We're sitting here talking about this so many years later, which is so interesting in its own weird way. But it's funny because it's just all water under the bridge. So
well, and
we get to make fun of each other
for it. Up because like I said, I mean, I've been sitting here like, oh my God, did I really cheat on Steven with Talon? But no, I didn't, damn it. So I'm very
happy. I was
going to
say, you were breaking that news to me. I was like, wait, what? All right, another name to the list. Somebody got to get.
Glad I came out of that one unscathed.
Well, so Talon has one of his good lines is he's on the phone with you and you're kind of teeing up, I think, a dinner between the two of you. And he says, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot on my mind. Do you remember that conversation? Was this a real one or did he say that just for MTV? I know he's saying it for MTV in a way, but do you remember him saying that on the phone? And did you not just crack up?
Well, you know, the thing with Talon is everything that came out of his mouth was funny to me. So this line in particular didn't really resonate with me because everything I thought was hilarious.
It was just Talon.
Yeah,
same
it was
old,
just Talon.
Old.
That was Talon. You always knew that something funny was going to be coming out of his mouth.
He's a great character. I love how the girls get back Talon and Jason and Cedric were, you know, Jason and Cedric had pranked them, was scaring the shit out of them with the blood on the windows and whatnot. So then they wrap their car with, I guess, saran wrap and silly string and get them when they're surfing, which is really funny. And then we have the drama between Jessica and Jason and Alex. And it's the same conversation between you and Alex and Jessica where I think Jessica's ranting like, I still don't have any proof that that anything's happening and he's not cheating. Once I have proof, I'll break up with him.
Concrete
and you're just like,
proof.
Like, you're like verklempt. You're just like, you have this
good
look
word.
Over to Alex that's like very genuine. We're like, fuck, when are we going to get through to this girl? Like, what is it going to take?
I know. Well, and then the dinner that they have just kills me. I haven't laughed so hard in a scene when it's Jason and Jessica. They step outside to have a conversation and Jason is coming down on Jessica for the way she's acting. She goes, well, how am I acting? And he goes, you tell me. I was like, what?
This is so
I
one of those.
So hard.
It's so one of those high school fights and also on camera too, which just makes it that much more nonsensical and just like no one wants to take responsibility for their shit. No one wants to say how they're truly feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason is so clearly not into this relationship. Jessica's trying to like call him out on shit, but doesn't have anything specific to call him out on. It's just like he's kind of being a jerk. He's not answering her phone calls. Oh man. But
and
yeah.
Nothing is actually said. There's really no resolution. And then all of a sudden they're kissing and it's
they're
like
making out.
Water under the bridge. Like, oh, okay.
By the way, Jason's just hitting a cigarette outside. Poor guy. Well, he's like definitely comes. He doesn't want to be at the dinner whatsoever, of course. I actually find it kind of interesting that he did the show too, because you could tell he's really over being there, or at least I think as he's understanding once he signed up to do the show that they're really starting to hone in on him and Jessica and this Alex thing, and he just does not want to deal with that. And I can relate to that. You start to figure it out and you're constantly having to talk about something. You're like, this does not exist and I don't want to talk about this on camera. But I could tell any situation that he was going to, Jason was going to show up drunk and he was going to not want to be there and he was going to be pissed off about the situation. And then it would just kind of also feed into what's happening between him and Jessica, which is the relationship should not be happening whatsoever. No. In no world do these two exist long-term. So yeah, I just, oh man, it was so funny right when he sat down. It's so awkward. It's everyone's fighting. Jessica's just calling him out and they get outside and they have their little argument. And then inside you got Cedric going, poor Jason. And then Alex good voice of reason, like, poor Jessica, which is true.
Poor even Jessica, though, I would say definitely poor Jessica. I mean, listen, what I said back in the day, she let him get away with murder. But in the same breath, it's like, I don't even understand why Jason was with her, because he clearly wanted no part of this relationship. So that's what I really can't wait to talk to him about. Like, why were you even with Jessica?
That's a good question. Write that one down. That's an easy one to ask him.
That's on my list.
There's a funny little MTV moment as they're tying the episode together. And of course, why you and Talon aren't there. And somebody says, where's Kristen? And they show Alex H, but then they cut away from her and she goes, she went out with Talon tonight. And it's a wild line that they had to record. And then of course we go to the dinner with you and Talon. And I love
this, this dinner was one of the last things that I filmed as well. This was also a pickup scene. Really?
No shit.
Yeah. Like really the stuff with Talon and I was more pickup scenes towards the end of the season because they obviously wanted to keep this going. You want to know why? How I can tell? This is so fucked up. I had gained a lot of weight towards the end of senior year. And in at Alex's house, when he calls me to ask me out, I'm like a solid 10 pounds heavier than I ever was. And I just remember, I think it was in the summer that we filmed that scene. So they definitely were splicing all of this to continue the love triangle between Taylor, Talon, and I. But this was filmed much, much later.
What was the cause for the actual, was it more chocolate back in the day? Is that still?
I know. As when we started this podcast, I'm over here just crushing chocolate.
Guys, like I get on the video with her and she's just smashing a chocolate bar. I'm like, good for you. It's 10
literally
in the morning.
A whole bar. Well, it's 12 here. Just want you to know.
Okay, there you go.
Breakfast of champions. But it was probably drinking a lot. And I think I was eating like shit too. So
you're getting your freshman 15. It was like you pretty much were in college at that point because as you said, you were spending
mentality.
You did. You had the college boyfriend. You were up in LA every weekend. You're like, I'm gonna get this college first 15 out of the way. Let's do it right away.
See, I always did things ahead of the time.
Oh man, too funny. So mature you were.
Yeah, well.
So that's interesting that you guys shot that at the end. So this is, you're starting to see some of the old MTV reverse engineering and how you said at the beginning that call where you guys had your sidekicks, where I think the show is obviously a success at this point. So yeah, getting brands to fork over some dough and then gift you guys some product to put on the show. Product placement. I was looking for that word earlier.
That's the placement, of course.
So you have that dinner. Again, I'm just cracking up. Like, how are you not laughing to this thing? Which you are laughing. You have your sweet smiles throughout, which I find funny. But as you said, you're like, this is just Talon. It's almost like you knew what to expect.
Uh-huh.
He has a line at the dinner. He's like, I'm the nice guy who finishes last.
Like, I know. Wait, it's so funny. He said that on our podcast too. Remember?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, he still got it.
Oh, I love Talon. Yeah. No, filming He's with great. Him was always so funny. I would just laugh my way through it. But it's funny because we're talking about game playing and I'm sitting here saying, yeah, I play games. Like just like straight to his face. Like, yeah, I'm 100% playing you.
And then as we move into the next scene where him and JP are skateboarding and then they go and sit in the barrel and have a little conversation about
JP.
You could see how the LA is starting to come into town. He's wearing his Von Dutch shirt.
And he's got
an ear pierced at this point, which is funny, which Not the first one. I think I saw Jason has one of his ears pierced, which I don't remember that being a thing in Laguna. I definitely
I don't either, actually. Yeah. Those no boys, again, were ahead of their time.
Yeah, that's right. JP had his lip pierced and Tal had his ear pierced. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was laughing. But JP's got a good point. It's like, and this is you, a good way to sum you up in high school. Mm-hmm. She's super cool, but you can't get really into her. It was like, take that
I
from
guess,
me.
Yeah, you could really vouch
gotta,
for that, huh?
gotta be careful.
I will it's break like, your heart.
Yeah, such a heartbreaker. So it's funny that they're talking about what Talon and you could be. And then you're like, yeah, gotta be careful. She's a heartbreaker. Transition, and it's you and Alex at your house holding up pictures of all your conquests.
It's like, I am not proud of these moments. I just want everybody to know that, okay? This is actually hard for me to watch. And the fact that I just like so nonchalantly was like, yeah, I fucked with his head. Yeah, I fucked with boys' heads. Like, oh my God. Okay, not to get too serious or too deep. This is obviously just a very lighthearted rewatch podcast, but... Mm. I definitely went through a phase in my life where I wanted everybody to love me. And it really boiled down to, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. I know that now as an adult, I've obviously had to work through a lot of shit and I'm not like that anymore. But I definitely, that was like my way of avoiding my heartbreaking was to just like break everybody else's heart first. So I have done a lot of reflecting over the years. I have grown up. Thank you very much. And I actually do look back on this and I feel really bad. I mean, especially for you because you were one of my real boyfriends and I cared a lot about, I mean, I was in love with you, but I'm not proud of these moments. So just want to say that.
Sure. Look, I think we all can relate. I mean, this is why people are like, I don't know how you guys did that. Like, aren't you just incredibly embarrassed about some of the most vulnerable years of your life where some of the dumbest shit happens too?
Yeah.
Stuff that you're not proud of is on camera and for the world to see. And yeah, it sounds like an absolute complete fucking nightmare. And maybe in a way, don't recommend it. But I don't regret it whatsoever. And it's funny because you realize you could deal with it. And you also... You have it to look back on in a way, be like, man, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. Because you have. I mean, you've changed. I've seen it with you. Like, there's still things about ourselves and our personalities are the same. I mean, you still have got this great charisma and energy and you're super fun. But, you know, you mature in a way that some of these insecurities that you just mentioned where you're talking about your father, that you don't necessarily understand are stewing and boiling and then causing you to react a certain way. Like, when I see you, you actually start to do it with Taylor in this season where you kind of... You're threatened by her in a way. And so you kind of call her out for like liking the attention, which is kind of what you did in season one with Lauren. And it's simply coming from an insecure place for yourself. And it's your way. You overcompensate, right? Like you push back and you're like, I've got everything all figured out. I know exactly what's going on in their mind. You're protecting yourself from people really seeing what's going on behind the curtain with you, right?
Well, and really, when people talk shit, it's just a projection of what they're feeling or thinking about themselves, which is something I've also had to learn over the years. So yeah, everything I'm saying about Taylor or Lauren or whatever is all about me. It's all an insecurity within me. And that's why when people are like, how were you so confident in high school? I'm like, I was not. I was the farthest thing from confident.
Oh, man.
It's just wild.
Well, it made for a very entertaining television. So
you're welcome,
you
MTV.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we are going to talk to you about our favorite HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit.
That's right. And looking for an easy way to eat well and save money? Cut back on expensive takeout and delivery and get started with HelloFresh. You'll love how fast, easy, and affordable it is to whip up a restaurant-quality meal right in your own kitchen.
No matter your lifestyle or meal preference, HelloFresh has recipes sure to please everyone at your table. From fit and wholesome to veggie or family friendly, you'll always find something even the pickiest eaters will enjoy.
You guys, I got a couple of their Hall of Fame recipes that you have to try. I've had them myself and they're very delicious, so I am sharing them with you. Please go check these out. If you're getting HelloFresh and you haven't tried these recipes, you're missing out. In the wintertime here, I love a good bowl of chili. Their classic beef chili with burlati beans, poblano pepper, and cheddar cheese is delicious. You have to check that out. That is a favorite of mine. Also, I just recently had the little ears pasta, which is an Italian pork sausage, baby broccoli, and pesto. Very good. I'm sorry, those are not vegan meals, but there are plenty of vegan options available to you on HelloFresh.
Yum, those sound really good. Go to HelloFresh.com/Beach65 and use code Beach65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Again, that is HelloFresh.com/Beach65 and use code Beach65 for 65% off plus free shipping. You guys, trust me, you're going to want to check out America's number one meal kit.
We have this, pretty much a very MTV dinner setup where it's Alex. They're finally getting Alex and Jason together for dinner, but it's only through Cedric and Casey being able to go out. This, of course, would never happen without MTV. And then it was funny how Casey said that she was going to leave her phone in the car or something to get outside, right? Or to let
Alex... to leave Alex and Jason alone, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I wonder when this was shot because it's Alex is about it and she wants it to happen. And it seems like they're really plotting for something to happen. Maybe this is after Jason and Jessica break up, but, or it's just MTV is feeding it to them already. And they're kind of going along with it. And Alex, you know, M is kind of just taking the piss out of it too. Like Alex M just kind of is along for the ride and kind of laughing at the whole situation.
Yeah.
You get a lot of times where she's got this really kind of self-deprecating or sarcastic humor that pops out in the show. And it's because when MTV's feeding her kind of what to do, what to say, and it's kind of awkward. She's kind of dancing around when Jessica and Jason are together. And she's just, you know, she's mocking herself in a way. So she's playing along, but then we get to the dinner and then she says she needs to get up. And then Jason's like, oh, this is dumb, bro. Please don't fucking leave. And then first they leave. And then MTV's just holding them outside. Like, well, yeah, don't go back in. Don't go back in. And then they give him the opportunity to go back in. And then Jason's like, oh, sweet. Fucking took it long enough.
You guys find your phone? How awkward and uncomfortable.
We should talk about Cedric a little bit because he's a pretty major player, I feel like, in the season. And he's Jason's best friend. So he plays a role where it's kind of like Alex H is to you, where MTV mm-hmm. is using him a lot to help get what they need with Jason, all the storylines, you know?
Yeah, he is. And Cedric was a really fun, outgoing, sweet guy. Jason and Cedric are actually still very good friends. And kind of funny, I've talked about how Jason has moved to Franklin, Tennessee, where I live. And Cedric is actually moving here in about a month or so as well. And he's also married with kids. And so it's going to be the three of us hanging out again, getting all of our families together.
Interesting. So Cedric and Jason still are really close.
They're very close still. Yeah.
Huh. That's funny.
I know. It's sweet.
Another funny moment from this little dinner scene that MTV has set up to finally get Alex and Jason in the same spot is when they're alone and they're having their little awkward conversation like, oh, what did we talk about? And then Alex M lets it be known. She was like, do you have a party at your house? And he was like, how the hell do you know about that?
Oh, yeah.
She was like, well, I drove by your house. I was going near there. And he was like,
which
what are you doing over there?
We used to do all the time. Us girls used to drive by guys' houses all the time.
Guys used to do that too.
Really?
We would park outside and be like, I wonder if we could see if they're home or if
oh my God, like, how funny.
Sometimes we'd park outside and then we would call to see if like a light turned on. Cause sometimes it'd be late at night. Like, oh yeah, she's not going out tonight. She stayed in. We're like, all right, we go over there. Like, let's see if she's home and see if we can wake her up. And then she wouldn't answer her cell phone. We'd call, you know, everyone had house phones back then as well.
Yeah.
So we're like, fuck it. Like, we'll do star 6 7.
Star 6 7.
Yeah. Private number.
Yeah.
And we'll call the house phone and we'll see where the lights pop on.
God, those were the days. It's not like that anymore.
Meanwhile, you've got Jessica calling Jason to just Jason's voicemail. Just home alone.
So sad.
News bad news. I remember this. There were some nights when we were dating where if we were not dating and I was just trying to get a hold of you, just wondering what you were up to. And your phone would go straight to voicemail. I'd be like, uh-oh. I'm like, this bad stuff going on.
I wonder why. So I would turn my phone off. You want to know what's funny? I still now, every single night when I go to bed, I put my phone on airplane mode. So if you text me, it won't be delivered until the next morning. Or like people will send me voice notes and then they'll be like, my voice note isn't being delivered. So then they'll like write it out. And then in the morning I'll get the voice note and I'm actually like writing it out. It's pretty funny. So nothing's changed.
That's funny. I don't do the voice note thing. People, do you text through voice notes with people a lot?
You know what? A lot of people said, well, sometimes it is, yes, but people love to send them to me for some reason, but I'm not crazy about them unless I just need to get out a quick story and I can't type it and you need to hear like my inflections with, you know, emphasis on certain words. But no, I'm not big on the voice text.
I've used it a little bit when I'm driving, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not really. I'm with you on that. I'm not too keen on it.
No. Nope.
Anyways, we've come a long way from the sidekicks with our little voice notes. And
look at us.
And the fact that we could FaceTime, which is
true. Man, that's clutch. How we're filming this podcast. So thank God.
That's right. Well, we're not filming. We're just recording, but we just have to see. We still got to see each other.
Looking at each other's faces.
Audio only.
Yeah, that's right. And thank God. I do want to say, though, so there is a scene with Morgan and Taylor, and Morgan tells Taylor that she saw my car outside of Talon's house. With Taylor's reaction, I felt was very genuine. She seemed like she was legitimately really bummed on Talon. She called him a hypocrite. And just to paint the picture for you guys, Talon and Morgan lived across the street from each other. So that most likely happened. I would say that 99% happened.
Look, MTV still has to craft their story, but I'm noticing what I feel like is a lot of genuine moments between people. And there's a lot of stuff I think that they're fighting for in the first season, but and everyone I think is kind of awkward, but some of the characters here are a little more comfortable, I think, around camera. Maybe MTV's doing a better job of kind of teeing up the characters to talk about what they need. But I feel like once people start going, there's a lot more conversations where you're getting genuine interaction between two high school kids talking about their life in a way. Now, you can really tell when they're being forced to talk about a situation. It happens a lot, I think, with the Alex M. and Jason conversations. But there's some good scenes where I feel like, you know, there's... When guys are talking, whether it was JP and Talon sitting there talking about you, even though it's very set up for MTV, there's still kind of some sincere moments. You sitting there with Alex H. I mean, you and Alex H. have a lot of good scenes together where she's helping tee up a lot for you and you guys have a real kind of back and forth and it feels more genuine, which is cool. And also, I guess I'm not as close to it, you know, with scenes that I'm in and I'm talking to my friends and I know I'm like, oh, fuck, this is all so set up and it's so hard to watch. But it's more interesting, I think, watching. So I'm enjoying this episode so far.
Yeah,
by the way,
you get to be a viewer.
It's nice.
It's nice. I'm actually not as in this season as season one either. So it's actually kind of nice for me too. I get to kick back a little bit too. Although there's some nasty things said about me, which in a scene with Taylor and Talon here on the beach, Taylor calls me a whore. I remember at the time being like, oh, what? But Taylor did apologize to me for this, and she was actually hammered when she filmed this scene. I remember her telling me that, and she actually felt very bad about what she said about me, and she did apologize to me, and that meant a lot to me. But yeah, watching it again, I was like, damn, yeah, no, she went for it.
You know what? I was wondering why she went there, because Taylor it seemed a little out of character for her, and I noticed, it's so funny you said that she texted you and said that she was drunk, because I was like, is she drunk? She's very, her guard's down. And I mean, her and Talon are like having this real conversation. They're having a feelings check back and forth of how they feel. And it's like bright daylight outside. And I was like, I don't know if she can be drunk, but who knows? It was a Saturday afternoon.
We definitely, figured it out back in the day. I don't think it mattered what time of day it was.
So, yeah, I don't know. But this scene was interesting to me. There's a lot of moments here. Talon is wheeling and dealing, as you like to say, throughout here. Given his perspective, he's got a few lines that had me cracking up. But you could see that, you know, what MTV is trying to build between the you and Talon and Taylor thing. The Talon and Taylor thing was real. There was, I think Talon always had a crush on her, but knew it was never really going to happen. I don't think Taylor was more the kind of girl to just, like, hook up with a guy, like, on a random night, you know? She wasn't. Yeah. She was just different in that way. And
just girlfriend material.
Yeah, but look, I think that I could tell that that was probably going to be a moment that she wished she could have back when she calls you the old W word. I've said enough terrible things on the show to repeat it here. Except for when I'm referring myself as a whore. I can call myself a whore, but old man whore.
Man whore. Hardly.
We were all whores back in the day.
I mean, clearly. Wow. The hookup culture was strong. I mean, even in the opening...
It's so incestuous.
It's really so incestuous. Even in the opening of this episode, I'm like, the real question is, are we going to hook up? Like, what? I mean, I know that was a line from MTV, but still the fact that I was like, okay, yeah, I'll say that, no problem.
You know, I do remember, I think a sincere thing from MTV was them being genuinely curious about how there was this casual hookup culture in our town. And Talon kind of alluded to it when we spoke to him, where it was a small town. Everyone liked to have a lot of fun. And like Laguna's in Orange County, but you had to live within its boundaries to go to Laguna Beach High School. And there was only a certain amount of people that, you know, there's like 24,000 or something. And the other cities, whether you go to Newport, San Clemente, all the cities around, they're like almost 100,000. It's double or triple what Laguna is. So kids that went to our high school, the numbers, the kids that we graduated with, it was all smaller than the schools around us, which made for tough sports because unless it was a water sport, we got our asses handed to us in everything. It was terrible. Football, yeah. It was kind of fun to go to the games, but we were just getting crushed. They just had a bigger pool to choose from. So also kind of spills into everyone had a bigger pool to choose from as far as hooking up with people.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be so incestuous, but man, our school,
really, we went for it. Although I will say, I think we should clarify what hooking up means. It can mean anything from kissing to having sex. I mean, it's a very gray area. It's not like anytime you say hooking up, it means you had sex. Because I say we hooked up about, I think, Talon originally, and we had only kissed at the time. And so,
you know what's another funny thing I remembered? Jessica and I had a little moment before she dated Dieter.
When? When you were a junior?
Just way back in the day. I don't know what it was, but there was a little moment where we hung out, and I'll never forget it because I was driving that black Explorer and she came over to my house. And for some reason,
I in the mix of all this? I need a time frame on this.
you definitely weren't around yet. This was when I was still very pure and
because I corrupted you. That's right. Right.
I was still in one piece. Humpty Dumpty was just sitting on the wall casually.
Right.
She was like 14, and I think I just got my driver's license. So it would have been.
So you were a sophomore.
So I was a sophomore.
Okay.
And she was a freshman, and I had my dad's car. And I invited her over. We were hanging out, and then we were driving over to her house, and I let her drive.
Oh, wow. That was nice. Which, I mean, illegal and nice.
Jessica, very sweet, but wasn't one of my smartest decisions. But we were driving over, and I remember we were coming down this hill, and there was an RV parked on the side of the road, and I was in the passenger side. And so I'm closer to that RV parked on the side of the road. And as she's approaching it, I was like, oh, she's kind of close to it. She's not going to hit it.
She's not going to hit it.
And then right before we get to it, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to hit this thing. And then my whole life flashes before my eyes. I'm like, how the fuck did I put myself in this situation? Oh my God, I'm in so much trouble. And I was just bracing for us to get in this huge wreck, crashing into this parked car. And she doesn't hit it. And it just nicks the side mirror. So the mirror is just kind of just barely nick, and it doesn't really do anything to the car. And I'm now kind of like in the fetal in the front seat, like, holy shit. How did we not just run into that car?
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're alive, first of all. Very happy about that. Also, I had no idea that you and Jessica had a thing. I feel like I've been lied to my whole life.
I wonder if you would remember, she had to have known maybe back in the day, but it was such a quick little, I don't know. I think we were like spring break buddies or something. It was a
spring break buddies.
A little blip on the radar.
So you guys didn't feel the need to let me know when we started dating. I get it. Oh, wow. That's a great story.
Okay, you guys, gentle reminders for the new year. Check in with yourself before offering help to someone else. Rest when you need to rest. Ask for what you need. And say yes to more things that make you feel good. Transport your mind to a world where you can relax and treat yourself to your deepest desires with Dipsy. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. Radically inclusive, Dipsy has stories for straight and queer listeners, and 56% of stories are voice acted by people of color. You've never heard celebrities like this before. Listen to stories voiced by Serenus J. Jackson, ER Fightmaster, and Luke Cook. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. They also have soothing sleep stories, wellness sessions, and sexy stories you can read. Let Dipsy be your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, relax and unwind, or heat things up with a partner. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/beach. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/beach. dipsystories.com/beach.
All right, everyone. I'm going to take a minute to talk to you about our good friends over at Orange Theory there. They've been with us here for a couple of weeks. As you've heard me mention, I've been going to their classes. I've been checking out their studios, and I am just loving what I'm getting results-wise from Orange Theory. So you have to check it out. Orange Theory is a smarter workout for more results. A total body one-hour group workout that combines science, coaching, and technology to guarantee maximum results from the inside out. It's a five-zone heart rate-based workout designed to transform you from the inside out and supercharge your metabolism for more caloric afterburn, more energy, more confidence, and more results. 12 to 20 minutes in the orange zone, 3 to 4 times a week, is all you need to start your fitness journey towards a longer, more vibrant life. Guys, I've been getting those classes, and I just love the way that Orange Theory tracks you. They track your progress. You can see how you're doing, not only in real time while you're there at the studio in one of their classes, but also over the course of many weeks and months as you're working towards those fitness goals. So if you guys are out there, you've got some goals in the fitness world, you're trying to step it up a little bit, Orange Theory is a great place for you to land so you can track all those results and also get pushed while you're doing it. This is a group setting. So you got people working out with you that are all different stages of their fitness journey. You've got the coaches that are there to push you along the way, make sure you're doing all the exercises correctly. So I do recommend it. Get in there. Promise you, you're going to feel very good about it. And guys, get your first class free. Visit orangetheory.com to find a studio near you and book now. Love it or your money back. Ask about their 30-day risk-free guarantee. They know you will love your Orange Theory experience, so they guarantee it. Just take 12 classes during your first 30 days, and if you don't feel like you're living a more vibrant, happier, healthier life, take back all your money and just walk away. Let's wrap up the episode here. Let's jump into some ratings.
Okay. What did you... I'm so curious what you gave yourself personally, since you're really not on it. Ooh. You're mentioned a couple times.
Yeah, there's still... All right. Well, I went with a C here, which is... I love not being in this episode, but it's not the best moment for me. There is a spot where when you're talking about your conquest with Alex, and you've got all your pictures up, and there's a picture of us from one of our formals. And this was a tough one for me. We were broken up at the time, but we still went to the dance together. And you were in an interesting phase. Like, you have red hair. Did you notice that?
Well,
you've gone full ginger spice on us.
I know. I dyed my hair black, and then I had to slowly work it back to blonde. So that was in the process.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you don't remember that? What wasn't supposed to be permanent, but anytime you put black dye on blonde hair, that shit's permanent. I don't care what they
Damn.
Say. So I had to strip my hair and slowly work it back to blonde. So clearly this was in my phase of getting back to blonde. And yeah, I had a little orangish reddish tints to it.
I remember this distinctly because, again, it was a tough night. We had like a shitty kind of kickback at my parents' house after formal or something. And I was a junior, you were a sophomore. So the seniors were having some sort of like really fun party, and you definitely wanted to go to that. And so you just bounced on me at the end of the night. And oh man, I took a tough L that night.
Oh, wow.
But you were...
Wait a minute.
You were in the...
This was winter formal, your junior, my sophomore year, and we were broken up.
It might
up.
Have been prom. I don't know. I think it might have been prom because maybe it was the second dance.
Had to
yeah,
have been prom.
You know
prom.
What? And I think it was the last dance for those seniors. So your brother and his friends, a lot of people who you knew very well, like you were just like, fuck. And I remember they rented one of the trolleys as their limo, if you will.
Oh, that's fun.
And I
remember
through
that.
The night, I was like, Chris is totally going to bail on me tonight. Because you were kind of like, oh, look, they look like they're having so much fun over there. And you're like, I want to go hang out with those guys. And our party was not cool enough. It was
shit.
It was reverting back to when I was a freshman. And the freshman girls just wanted no part of us. So they wanted to hang out with the older guys. So we took an L that night. But you were also, that was a look in your eye that I was fierce. I mean, the ginger spice hair with like the red. I mean, actually, you're not ginger spice. You're more like poison ivy. There was a little bit of a diabolical vibe to you this night. You had a red dress on because I'm wearing a red shirt to go to match you with my suit. But the hair was
a little devilish.
Oh, yeah. What do they call that when they had? Oh, well, it's Mad Hatter, basically. You had some sort of the hair was getting into.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad I don't remember this night because it doesn't sound like I did anything good. So
it was a tough one. So
add that to the list of things I've blacked out of my memory.
Anyways, for that, do love not being in this episode. However, the moment I am in it was a bit of a harsh memory. So we're going with a C.
Sorry about
that.
Good. Yeah, and I'm sitting there saying that I played you essentially. So understandable. I also went with a C because I feel like this is going to be a consistent theme this whole season where they show a little bit of my personality, but I still just, I do not come off well at all. Mm. They have definitely put me, you know, I'm playing the character that they want me to be and I'm giving it to them. So you either loved me or hated
me. Tremendous entertainment value you're offering. The full Regina George is, yeah, it's an amazing thing. So don't be too hard on yourself. You've come a long way.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
What about audience rating?
So audience rating, I went with a B. I feel like it was just steady. Nothing earth-shattering, but steady drama. A lot going on.
Yeah, we're setting the table here. So I think, you know, the next episode is, I know, Winter Formal. And I think we're building to what's going to happen there. It's kind of like they're using that episode as their episode 5 Cabo. And the first season was episode 5. And based on what you're saying, how there's a lot of scenes that you shot with Talon and Alex at the very end of shooting when MTV now knows, okay, this is what our season's going to look like. Let's fill the gaps. You're coming back and shooting all that. So yeah, we're setting the table quite a bit here. Mm-hmm. But I gave it an A. So there's not like huge drama happening, but I did give it an A- because I do feel like there's some real conversations between a couple of kids in their teens who have some feelings towards each other. I mean, the way that you and Talon talk, there's feelings there that are real. The way Talon talks to Taylor, there's feelings there that's real. I think when Talon's hanging out with JP and they're talking and they're talking about you, there's some, and I don't know if it's because they're getting better at it or MTV knows how to feed kids that kind of, or how to kick off a conversation a little bit better. But as they're not forcing the drama on us in this episode and they're just kind of letting these kids talk and go about it.
You want to know what? I actually feel like it's because you're removed from it. I guarantee it is the exact same formula. It is just as forced and staged, but because you are not part of it, you're able to just watch it as a viewer. Honestly, that's what I really
interesting.
Think.
And you're probably right.
Because you and I had real emotion and real conversations in season one, too. I mean, there was also real emotion between most people, I would say.
Yeah, but I feel like it was more heavy between us. And it was, but with these conversations, it's kind of, it's some fun kind of shit talking. Talon and Taylor are shit talking each other. You and Talon.
Okay,
you know what
that
I mean?
Makes
so
sense.
It's entertaining for me.
It's not as serious.
Yeah. And you're just kind of giving it to each other. And, you know, the attitudes of kids at that age is coming out. And it's, you know, it's funny for me to watch.
Okay,
it kind of remind
like
me of what those times were like back in the day. So,
yeah.
But we're setting the table for, I think, what's going to happen in the next episode. You know what's so funny? My do-over? I should change it. Because what I have is I really wish Dieter stuck it out with Jessica because she wouldn't have to go through all this shit. So my do-over...
Oh, that's a nice...
My do-over is not for myself. But now I'm like, after, as we just discussed, how Jessica and I had our thing back in the day, maybe we could have avoided all of this. I wish I stuck it out with Jessica.
There wouldn't have been a show. Everyone's hearts would not be broken had that been the case.
I'm just kidding, because then we wouldn't be here talking today, being able to go over what exactly went down in our little high school career. So
exactly. We learned so much. We had so much fun together.
But Dieter was a good guy for Jessica. I think that they would have been paired off well. But yeah, it was. I think what happened was that it was not meant to be. Dieter was going to college and just kind of like us.
So Jessica went for the
she
bad
should have stuck it out with Dieter.
Pulled a 180. Mm-hmm. Well, my redo is that I wish I had gotten in touch with my emotions a little bit more so that I wasn't hurting all of you guys, you, Talon, everybody, every guy I came in contact with.
Have you ever had your heart broken, by the way?
So no, people ask me this all the time. My heart has been broken in the sense of, you know, different reasons and different relationships. And I've obviously been very sad about relationships ending, but I've never had my heart broken in the sense of someone just like breaking up with me and ending it and moving on. Isn't that crazy? I know.
You gotta
come and know. Because I've always done the heartbreaking.
When your boys turn 18 and they're off to college and they're like, peace, mom, I don't need you anymore. It's gonna...
I know. It's going to be hard. Well, I already say goodbye to my kids every Friday, and that's really hard. So I feel like my heart breaks every Friday.
It's so funny you're saying...
Well, every other Friday, I should
that
say.
You just never had your heart broken, but you were such a heartbreaker back in the day. It's like the image of you, like, just laughing maniacally or cackling atop like a steamroller with all of your conquests in front of you. That is a portrait of Kristen in high school.
But that was how I avoided getting my heart broken, was by breaking everybody else's heart. It worked.
Hey, it's
I
a
guess.
Strategy. I mean, look,
it's for sure. So, I love a strategy.
A lot
okay?
of people can relate. A lot of people can relate to that. Oh, man.
Okay, what about quote? What was your quote?
So I'm going to call it right now. I think we have the exact same one.
Talon.
Yep.
I don't love you. I L-U-V you.
That's it. What a brilliant line. So yes. He's going back and forth with Taylor. And it's the scene at the very end of the episode, which is, yeah, interesting that you mentioned Taylor might have been a little drunk in that one. Mm-hmm. But the game that Talon is playing there, I mean, she's calling Talon out for being with you, and Talon says, I would be with her because I couldn't get anyone else. And Taylor's like, what the fuck? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, also, fuck you, Talon.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then, man, they're just like, she's like, why do you care about me, Talon? And then Talon says, I don't. And then he says, even if I say I don't care about you a million times over, you know I care. And then she says, I hate you so much right now. And then we have what is a brilliant quote from Talon. And he says, I love you. I don't hate you. Well, I don't love you. But I L-U-V-U.
It's so good. So good.
Well done, Talon.
He is the best one-liners. I love it.
That's our guy. All right, guys. Well, man, that was an interesting episode. There's some shit that... Yeah.
A lot happening. a lot going on.
I'm looking forward to this next one, though, because I think we're getting some drama in episode 5 as we go to winter formal. So as we know, it's kind of like a spring break deal.
Juicy.
Everyone gets a little extra intoxicated on this weekend. And if the MTV cameras are there to capture it, it is to the benefit of all you viewers at home. So,
yeah, I can't wait. We'll see you guys for winter formal.
Tune in, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Back to the Beach with me, Kristen Cavallari, and the best ex-boyfriend ever, Stephen Colletti.
We are so stoked to bring you along on this journey back through Laguna Beach with us.
You can find us on Instagram at Dear Media Studio, hashtag BTTBpod, at Kristen Cavallari, and at Stephen Colletti.
Got any questions about the show? Give us a call on our Back to the Beach hotline, 1-844-LAGUNA-0.
And if you like our show, please make sure you follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to this so you don't miss an episode. And don't forget to leave us a rating and a review.
Back to the Beach is a Dear Media production hosted by Kristen Cavallari and Stephen Colletti.
Our show is produced by Rosalie Atkinson.
Post-production by Amanda Vandekar, Michelle Harrison, and Taylor O'Connor.
Music supervision by Jonathan Lane.
Our theme song is Come Clean, written by John Shanks and Cara Diaguardi.
Cover composed by Steve Shebby.
And our executive producers are Jocelyn Falk, Paige Port, and Michael Bostick.